In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And please join me as we break open God's Word on page 1014 of your Missal. So on page 1014, we have the readings for the 22nd Sunday at Ordinary Time. And as well-formed Catholics, you know that when we approach the Scripture readings, we go to the first reading first. And outside the Easter season, that's from the Old Testament. And the church is going to give us something from the Old Testament and then have us go to the gospel. And the Lord is going to fulfill something from the Old Testament. We're going to see that played out in the gospel reading. And then our second reading is either the application to our discipleship or some type of theological explanation. So let's go to our first reading. Our first reading today is from the book of Deuteronomy. What an endearing book the book of Deuteronomy is. Moses has just led God's people through the desert for 40 years. All of his peers, his own generation, have died in the desert. Moses himself, who did not trust the Lord fully, would not be permitted to enter into the promised land. God allowed him to get right to the edge so he could see it, but he was not allowed to enter it. Moses is now addressing the generation of the desert, the children of those who left Egypt, and he's reminding them of what God has taught, and he's exhorting them as a father in the faith, do not follow the sins of your parents. Do not fall into idolatry. He's exhorting them, encouraging them, challenging them to remain faithful to the covenant of God. He's an old man. He knows that he's dying. He has seen the marvels and the power and the mystery of God, and he's calling God's people to remain faithful. Incidentally, throughout the book of Deuteronomy, there are two things that he will stress. One, marry a believer. Do not marry outside of the covenant of God. And then secondly, make sure you drill into your children the covenant and the teachings of God, the two important aspects, marriage and family. But look at our passage today. What does Moses instruct? Moses said to the people, "Now Israel, hear the statutes and decrees which I am teaching you to observe, that you may live and may enter in and take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of our fathers, is giving you." Look at that beautiful invitation. Do not follow these commandments simply in order to follow rules. Follow these commandments that you might live, that you might know the joy and the presence of God. You might know the freedom and the blessing it is to be one of his children, that you might live and that you might inherit the land. Moses here is placing before God's people the choice. What are you going to do? And Moses is not simply speaking to the Israelites of old. Moses is speaking to each of us. What are we doing? Will we choose to follow the covenant and the commandments of God that we might live? What decision have we made in our hearts? Will we remain faithful to God so that one day we will inherit the promised land of heaven? The choice is ours. That Old Testament reading now leads us to the gospel. Let's look at our gospel reading. And of course, I hope that you immediately notice that we are back in Mark. This is the year of Mark. Our Sunday readings are on a 3-year cycle based on the synoptic gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We're in Mark's year. But you know, as well-formed Catholics, the past couple of weeks we've been in John, because Mark's the shortest of the Gospels, only 16 chapters. If you haven't read Mark's Gospel, I encourage you to do so. It is a quick read, a beautiful display of the life and the teachings of our Lord. We've been in John's Gospel because John has needed some help. Mark's needed some help from John in order to get through the year. But John's done now, so Mark picks back up. I think of like those wrestling matches where you have like the tag team, the one guy's in there fighting, and then he's done, he goes, he gives a high five, and the other guy comes in, right? Well, John's been in the ring wrestling. He's like, all right. He's looking for Mark. He's like, boom, high five, boom. Mark's like, all right, I got it. Mark's back in the ring. John's over to the side. Mark's like, I got this. It's my year, okay? Right? So we're picking back up in Mark. Let's look at what we hear today. When the Pharisees, with some scribes who had come from Jerusalem, gathered around Jesus, they observed that some of his disciples ate their meals with unclean, that is, unwashed hands. First of all, you notice that in Mark's gospel, he's explaining all of the Jewish customs, because Mark is writing to Gentile Christians in Rome. They didn't know the Old Testament. They weren't raised in the faith of Israel. They didn't know. Mark has to give commentary. Okay, look, the tradition of the elders, they would wash this, they would wash that, they would wash this, they would wash that. He has to give the explanation so that when the challenge is given by the Pharisees, why don't your disciples wash? Why are they not clean? The original listeners can understand. So we can understand. The Pharisees are upset because Jesus' disciples are not following all of the minutiae traditions. Jesus comes back and challenges them. says, wait a minute, all the things that are outside are not what defile. The things we have to worry about are the things of the heart. Where is our heart? That's a lesson for us. Where is our heart? The externals are given to us, even in the new covenant, in order to help us to express what is on the inside, what is in our heart. The externals, sometimes they help form what's on the inside, but there's supposed to be something there. Jesus is so righteously angry with the Pharisees throughout the Gospels. On one occasion, he says to them, look at you, look at you. You are like whitewashed sepulchers, so beautiful on the outside, but nothing with dead men's bones on the inside. That's the Lord saying that. You look so wonderful. You look good, but you have nothing inside. This is why Jesus is righteously angry with the Pharisees. This is why Jesus is righteously angry with so many disciples today. How is it that we can worry about making sure we look good? Got to make sure we get the mass. Got to make sure people know that I'm at the parish. Got to make sure people see me praying. So oftentimes we see these hypocrites, even in our day. They're so worried about just the externals, but there's nothing on the inside. Dear Jesus, dear Lord, dear friends, the Lord Jesus has given us all the things of the external in order to help us with the internal. Even the sacraments are given in order to convert our hearts. If we take all the grace of the sacraments and it just remains on the outside, nothing converts, nothing changes in our heart, then we are not Christians. We are not followers of the Lord Jesus. So Jesus now echoes and perfects the question of Moses. Will you follow the commandments? Are you going to allow your heart to be consecrated to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? And of course, that question, its answer, has consequences. Let's look at our second reading. Our second reading is from the letter of James. It's nice to know that someone else wrote a letter in the New Testament besides Paul, huh? You can imagine all the apostles got together. They're like, hey, did you hear Paul has another letter? Like, oh, no, another letter. You know, does that guy have an unpublished thought? You know? But here we have some other letters. We know James wrote a letter. He's one of the apostles. Get this. James was a cousin of the Lord. They grew up together. That's pretty interesting. James is writing to the Jewish Christians who are getting a lot of garbage by the Jews who did not convert to Christianity. They're really upset with them. They're getting a lot of persecution. James writes his letter in order to encourage them. In his letter, he gives 12 points of charity, how to live out the Sermon on the Mount. Very practical things. If you haven't read the letter of James, I encourage, it's only a few chapters, I encourage you to read that letter. But I'm going to warn you, it's very provocative. It challenges us in terms of how we love and that we can love more deeply. But let's look at James today. Let's just look at that second paragraph. James writes, humbly welcome the word that has been planted in you and is able to save your souls. Dear friends, that word was planted in us at baptism. That seed was placed in our heart and is the grace of God. If we allow the grace of God to work within us, if we declare Jesus Christ is Lord and we live by that, then grace will make us fit for the kingdom of God. So it has the capacity, the power to save our souls. But look, James isn't done. He writes, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deluding yourselves. My goodness, don't we have a lot of delusion in the church today? So many people think they're wonderful Christians, huh? Because they hear the word of God. You're here, you're hearing the word of God, but are you doing it? Are you doing and fulfilling the word of God? Here's a rule of thumb to help you in an examination of conscience. When you leave this house of worship, do you speak as openly about Jesus out there as you do in here? Are you willing to speak as much about Jesus Christ, moral teachings, or show that you are a person of prayer out there as you are here? When you're out in the midst of the world and you have to make decisions, how to vote, how to spend your money, how to approach your body, how to serve the poor, how to show kindness even to those who are unkind to you, does the gospel have any play in those decisions? Are you constantly seeking to follow the way of the Lord Jesus and to fulfill his will? Or do you just go about your own business, figuring out on your own and doing whatever you prefer? Perhaps someone would even say, gosh, I talked about Jesus to Jesus at Mass. And, you know, it's been a week. I haven't even thought about Jesus or even sought to apply his teachings in any way in my life. Well, here's the newsflash. You're a listener of the word. You're not a doer. Right? We've got some things to change. We are called to be doers of the word. It means that we declare, we choose Jesus Christ as Lord, and our life has to reflect that. That means we are a person of mercy. We forgive even the ones we don't want to forgive. We die to ourselves. We go the extra mile in compassion and service. We look and search for the poor, the sick, the vulnerable, and the weak. All the people that other people are uncomfortable with, we go to, we fly to in order to serve. And we are people of generosity. Do you realize that we are called to tithe? The first 10% of your money does not belong to you. It belongs to God. If you take that, you are a thief. I love it when people steal from God, they don't give the tithe, and then they think they're generous because they give a few extra bucks to the church. You're giving nothing but stolen money back, right? So the way we approach our money, and no, it's not just about your money, it's about what's first. We acknowledge that God is the source of all good, that all of our blessings come from him, and we show that by giving him our first fruits. That's that 10%. But what about in terms of the other areas of the gospel and the other commands that we have been given? How are we there? We can go point by point, the way we approach our bodies, our sexual powers, how we approach each other, how we deal with that difficult neighbor. All these different areas we can ask. This is the examination of conscience. Am I just a listener of the word, or am I actually doing it? And all of this relies on the heart, on the fact that our hearts have declared that Jesus Christ is Lord. And dear friends, we have to make that intentional decision. We have to make sure that it's clear in our heart, hey, this fallen heart, you belong to Jesus. And we make sure this fallen heart gets its act together. And God's grace can help us with that. So these are our beautiful scripture readings today. And they're all about making the decision and then living by that decision. So with that said, I want to apply this to some of the things happening here in our parish. So first, we know that as Christians, we are called to continue the work of the Lord Jesus. That we have to commit ourselves to his way. That's why we're here at Our Lady of Grace. You know, over the past couple of months, we have been doing a census here at the parish. Now, I need to point out that there has never been a census in our community. So for 8 years, we were an itinerant community, mainly over at the rec center, and there was never a census. Who's with us? Who's left? Who's died? Never a census. Then for 5 years, we've been here as a parish. We've never done a census. So I stress that because some of these numbers, it's not like this just happened the past year, the last 3 years. In many respects, this is the last 13 or 14 years as we're trying to clean up our directory. Clean up the census. So with that said, let's look at some things. First of all, when we started the census, we thought we were in the high 900s in terms of households. We're actually in the high 700s as households. Now I say that, and it's interesting because 200 households did not respond. We had 2 weekends in the office, 2 rounds of phone calls, a hard copy letter that was sent to their mailing address. 200 households did not respond. It's possible that some of them died, or some moved and we don't have their address, or their information has changed. It's possible that some of them are still here and they just didn't want to let us know. Hi, guys. You have to let us know that you're a part of this parish. We know that every Catholic has to be registered in a parish. You must belong to a community. You can decide, within reason, what community you will be a member of, but you have to be a member of a parish. Let me make it clear, if you're not registered here at Our Lady of Grace, this is not your parish. I am not your pastor. That means, in terms of my time, if I have a request from a parishioner and a request from a non-parishioner, my parishioner always wins. They are the ones committed to my care by God. They are my spiritual family. Incidentally, if I'm not your pastor, I do not have the right to baptize your children or grandchildren. I do not have the right to officiate at the weddings of your children and grandchildren. I do not have the right to anoint you unless you're in the danger of death. You have no access to our facilities. You have no opinion in how this community is run. You are not a member of this parish. You are always welcome as a brother and sister in Christ, of course, but you're not a member of this community. It's very important that you are registered in some community. Again, every Catholic must belong to a parish. Okay, so those are the 200 or so that did not respond. What about the ones who did respond? This is going to be fun. So the largest number of people who left actually left because they wanted to be closer to their family. That makes sense, right? Especially with the pandemic, a lot of our older parishioners wanted to be closer to their adult children. So they moved. That makes complete sense. That's the largest group that left the parish. A few left because there was no 7 a.m. Mass. Right? It's so terrible that the world doesn't revolve around them, huh? Right? Now, I know that for some, it's because of work. That's noble. They have to go to the 7 a.m. Mass. But for the vast majority, it's convenience. Now, this is news to me because I can't imagine picking a Christian community or my parish because of the Mass times. One would think the orthodoxy of the priest, the spirituality of the parish, the call to discipleship. No, just give me my 7 a.m. mass, right? So they've left and we say, God bless you, right? A few others left because we didn't require masks during the pandemic. Now, I made it clear and constantly explained that the bishop's instruction was that we follow the local authority. Our parish is within the county jurisdiction of Lancaster. Because we're not an incorporated city, we fall directly under the county. The county never required masks, so neither did we. They were welcome, as they are now, but we cannot require what our local authority does not. That was explained. Some people felt uncomfortable and wanted to be in other parishes. We wish them God's blessing. I want them to be comfortable and to feel safe. But then there was a small minority of people who left because they thought that we were too political, too conservative, too old school, too, you get it, right? In fact, one person, they called and said, I'm leaving this parish because Father Kirby talks too much about confession. I thought, my God, I pray that God remembers that on the day of my judgment. You know what I mean? I talk too much about God's mercy. It's like, wow. Please, Lord, remember that. But thanks be to God for each of you. Look at what our parish has been able to do. And that's with our current numbers. We thought we were in the high 900s, but we're actually in the high 700s, which makes our accomplishments even more praiseworthy. Look at what God has allowed us to do in his name. It's this last group, however, the ones who think we're too conservative, too political, too old school, and so on, that I think we need to address, because it's important that we understand who we are. The other groups are within the movement of human life. People want to move, people who want to feel safe. Those are all understandable. But what about those, again, who think that we're too much or too this? Right? It's important that we clarify. This is our spiritual community, and we have all chosen to be members of it. All of us. We've all had choices. I've had choices. And I've made it clear that this is my parish. This is where I'm staying. We have all chosen to be a part of Team Grace. But what exactly is it that we're doing here? We are attempting to take the summons of the Second Vatican Council and the teachings of Pope St. John Paul II and use them to deepen in the call of the Lord Jesus to follow his most excellent way of love. We are seeking to continue the witness of the early church as we see played out throughout the Acts of the Apostles. That's what we are attempting to do. And speaking of Vatican II, so oftentimes people will say, well, I'm leaving because, you know, Our Lady of Grace is not a Vatican II parish. It just shows they don't know what they're talking about, right? You're adult Christians. I encourage you to read the 16 documents of the Second Vatican Council. Read the opening homily of good Pope John on why he convened Vatican II. He didn't convene Vatican II to clericalize the laity. You're not priests. That's my job. You are the baptized. You are to go into the world and be salt, light, and leaven. Be good disciples. Seek your salvation and proclaim that salvation to every man and to every woman you meet. That's our call. The Vatican Council wasn't about making the laity priests, and it wasn't about solely about church reform or liturgical reform. You know, one of the first documents Vatican II gave was actually on the liturgy, because that was the one they thought, okay, this is a no-brainer, right? Because the real work of Vatican II pertained to leadership. It pertained to discipleship. The church looked out at the world, looked out at the believers, and said, how is it they don't know how to pray anymore? Or they don't know how to read the Bible? How is it that we have gotten stuck in our silos when we're supposed to be proclaiming the good news? The entire push of the Second Vatican Council was to empower you as disciples and to ennoble you and to make you strong in order to be witnesses. Which is why it's particularly funny when someone says, I'm leaving Our Lady of Grace because it's not a Vatican II parish, and they go to another parish that has nothing to do with Vatican II, right? And they think that's Vatican II because some whacked out nun told them that, right? Who probably was liberal, probably abandoned her vocation, is probably out working for Planned Parenthood now, right? The Second Vatican Council was tragically hijacked by a lot of really bad people, or some people who had well intentions but didn't know what they were talking about. And this fake Vatican II has now begun to be floated around and still every once in a while appealed to. But I encourage you, you're adult Christians, read Vatican II, or just read the opening homily. Good Pope John looked out and said, there's something wrong with the church. We have to reclaim discipleship. Do you realize how many times at Vatican II it stressed? The faithful must know and develop a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The faithful must know the scriptures. The faithful must know and understand what is happening during the Mass and the other sacraments. And the list goes on, dear friends. That's Vatican II. In fact, I would argue that Vatican II, its legacy and teachings have yet to fully be tapped into, in large part because it has been hijacked and we have a fake Vatican II floating around. But not here. Not here. Here at Our Lady of Grace, we take the true Vatican II and we're applying it. My responsibility as your pastor is to form you in the Christian way of life, to demand that you follow the most excellent way of Jesus Christ, to give you the grace of the sacraments to do it, to help you understand the scriptures that you might know the word of God yourself and go out and be the witnesses to the Lord Jesus in the midst of the world, that you might not be ashamed of what you have received, but might announce from the rooftops in gratitude the abundant riches you have received in Jesus Christ. That's what it means to be a disciple. That's what Vatican II has called for, and that's what we're doing here at Our Lady of Grace. But of course, it's not for everyone. Some people just want the status quo. Some do not want the challenges of the gospel. Some want a small little lion cub that they can control when the gospel is meant to be a roaring and fierce lion, which cannot be controlled by man. Let's look at the average parish. And this is by Pew Research. This isn't my thoughts. I'm going from Pew Research. The average parish, confessions are rare. Isn't it amazing when you see these parishes, they have 2,000 families and confession is a half hour on Saturday? Like, oh my goodness, they're all saints. You know what I mean? That's powerful. Wow. We're just a bunch of sinners over here at Our Lady of Grace, right? Confessions are rare. Anointing is hardly ever done, maybe during Lent. Pastoral calls are rarely responded to. And the dying, do not receive the consolation of the last sacraments. There's no adult formation, and maybe if there is, it's a bunch of videos. The priest himself isn't teaching the faith. The people of God paid for him to receive a graduate degree in theology in order to teach, but he's not teaching. The deacons preach extensively. The deacons are the ones doing the weddings and the baptisms. Some time ago at a priest gathering, a brother priest bragged that he could not remember the last time he celebrated a baptism, and said, that's what we have deacons for. There's limited prayer opportunities outside of the Mass. There's no adoration or emphasis on the Blessed Sacrament. If there is, it's a small, devout few. Homilies are fluff, overly soft, do not address the issues of the day, leave the faithful uninformed, do not seek to form their consciences, and refuse to speak about the demands of discipleship. The priest is non-existent, oftentimes hardly around. He doesn't come into the office, and he's not really overly concerned about the parish. There's limited outreach and limited networking by the parish to the broader outside community. That's the average parish in the United States. But that's not us, Team Grace. In fact, we do the opposite of everything I've just described. We look to Acts chapter 2, and we seek to continue the noble tradition of the way of the Lord Jesus. Rather than giving you a whole list of the things we seek to do, which I pray you already know, let me just give you a few testimonies. The reform of the Second Vatican Council happened in the late 1960s. That included the reform of the lectionary, that you, the people of God, might know the word of God. And yet how many of you only recently have said, only now do I begin to understand the dynamics of the scripture, and can I approach the readings at Mass and understand what the church is trying to teach? What happened to all those other decades? Why were the people of God not being taught and instructed on the word of God? But that's happening here at Our Lady of Grace. We are teaching you how to understand the readings at Mass. Broadly more with the Bible, many of you have told me, Father, I'm reading the Bible. I'm finally reading the Bible. As we have sought to make the Bible easy to approach, easy to navigate, so that you might feel comfortable as a child of God reading the living words of your Father. Many of you have shared with me, I never knew that this kind of relationship with Jesus was possible. I never knew that this was what I was called to be, called to have in Jesus Christ. At different times during our various homily series, many of you have told me, or the deacon, how much better you understand the Ten Commandments or the Creed. These are our central teachings. And many did not even know the basics pertaining to them. And how many of you are grateful that we approach them and explain them? How many of you were grateful for the series on end-of-life issues? One person is saying to me, I've never heard this from the pulpit, and this is really important. How we are called to die in the Lord. Others have told me that they didn't understand how important and helpful the sacrament of confession could be. So Some of you have recounted the glowing comments about our parish, which you have heard from various nonprofits and outreaches throughout Lancaster County, who know how much we care and how active we want to be in supporting them in their outreaches. Dear friends, the stories and the testimonies continue. But you know all this because you know who we are. And you have chosen to be a part of this community. We are Team Grace. We have chosen to be a part of this parish. And in terms of discipleship, you haven't seen anything yet, dear friends. Because we have a lot more work to do. And how wonderful and great it is that we get to dive in the riches of the glory of Jesus Christ together as we all seek to mutually grow in our discipleship. So thank you for being a part of this parish. As we move forward, I praise God for each of you and for your faith in Jesus Christ. May God bless each of you and your families. May God bless Our Lady of Grace Parish. And may he bless our efforts to spread his kingdom right here in Lancaster County.